Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
I want to talk to you about destiny. The title of this message is Destiny by Choice. It's a choice that we can make as we enter the ninth month of the year. And we've seen 8 months just fly by. And hopefully we've made choices at the beginning of this year that is leading us closer and closer to the destiny that God has for us. You'll find in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden.'" Admittedly, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, "You are free." The idea of freedom, not only freedom, but to eat from any tree in the garden, is one of the first agendas of God, way back into Genesis, the second chapter of the first book of the Bible. Think about it. With just bananas and the number of different bananas there are, the choices, the freedom to choose, and that's just bananas. Now start thinking about all the fruits and the vegetables and the nuts and all sorts of flavors and smells, and you know that God's agenda for you and for me is to give us this abundance of choices. Now notice in the verse it says, "The Lord commanded the man." In other words, freedom, as God would have it, is not a suggestion. It is actually, literally, the first commandment in the entire Bible. God wants us to have the freedom of choice. Now, you might be saying, "That's the Old Testament, Pastor. What about the New Testament?" Well, in the New Testament, we find that Jesus' agenda is right smack into this idea of freedom. In John 8, 31 and 32, he says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are my followers, you are my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Now notice what happens next in verse 33. "They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves before. How can you say that we shall be set free?' Jesus responds and says in verse 34 and 35, 'Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin.'" This is the reason why Jesus came to earth, to save us from sin. "Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but the son belongs to it forever." Watch what happens next in verse 36. "So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Freedom is the ultimate destiny that God has for us. The idea that God had from the very beginning of time was to set us free. The big question for us is this: if God's destiny for us is freedom, then why don't we see it the way we should? Well, the reason why is because, first of all, it's a choice. And some of us choose not to be free rather than to be free. The gamut of opportunities to make choices can sometimes be confusing. Sometimes there's so many things that we want to choose from. And what we don't understand is this ability to choose, or freedom of choice, is actually very powerful, if not one of the most powerful gifts God has given us. Some people argue that you might find yourself in a position to make those choices. But what if I come from a background of a nation or a problematic situation that does not allow me the freedom of choice? Thus, you find yourself with limited choices. The answer might be what Viktor Frankl, the famed neurologist and psychiatrist, once said. He said, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing. And that one thing is the last of human freedoms. And that freedom is the freedom to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. This, to choose one's way, is the greatest freedom of all. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances." And you're probably saying, "Well, Viktor Frankl is a European and probably doesn't have a lot of problems." Well, that's debunked by the fact that Viktor Frankl was a survivor of the Holocaust, the worst tortures, the worst situations, and yet came out positively making a life for himself by making the right choices. The power of choice is not limited to your circumstances. The freedom to choose is one of the most powerful gifts God has given us. But remember that this freedom to choose is also so powerful, it is capable, the very thing that God has given us, is capable of enslaving us. Barry Schwartz, the psychiatrist, once wrote a book called The Paradox of Choice. He cites the example of one moment when he was trying to buy a pair of jeans. To start with, he had to choose between sizes, which was an easy choice because that's something that would fit him. Then he had to choose the brand. Once he had made that choice, the person attending to him asked him, do you want slim fit, easy fit, relaxed fit? Do you want button fly or zipper? Do you want stone washed or acid washed or washed? What do you want? And by this time, it was getting confusing. And then do you want grunge or how grunge? The point of this is that because of the number of choices, we have escalated expectations. We think that just because we have a number of options and ability to choose, that our expectations will always be met. The interesting thing that Schwartz talked about was when he left the store, he actually had the best fitting pair of jeans he'd ever expected. But as the days wore on, his dissatisfaction increased. And here's the reason why. Because he kept reviewing the thought that there might actually be a pair of jeans that's better than the one he has. The point of this is that when you have escalated expectations, your level of dissatisfaction actually increases. The increase of dissatisfaction resulted in increased tendency to decision paralysis. All of a sudden, you don't want to make the right choices or you don't want to choose. Happens so often with men and women in marriage. There's so many options that I might as well delay. Now notice where it also says that the book tells us that it wasn't just the escalation and the tendency for decision paralysis, it increased the misery and the depression. In fact, he mentions the fact that the idea of the epidemic of clinical depression is caused by this idea of the paradox of choice. The point being, freedom of choice is one of the greatest, most powerful gifts God has given us. But likewise, it is so powerful, it is actually capable of paralyzing us, if not enslaving us. Freedom is a choice. It's not an easy choice. And later you will see the kind of choices you need for you to become free in God, for God, through God. Next is not only a choice, freedom is actually a responsibility. My next quote is not from a famed neurologist or psychiatrist, but it's actually from the movie Spider-Man. It was Uncle Ben telling Peter Parker, with great power comes great responsibility. If it's true that the freedom to choose is a great power, then it comes with great responsibilities. For instance, you have the freedom to buy a car. But with that freedom comes the responsibility to insure the car, to protect the car, to park the car properly, to maintain it, and to make sure it doesn't have a collision or an accident. It has a lot of responsibilities. You're free to have relationships, as many as you want. But once you marry someone in that relationship, you have given responsibilities. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 tells us, you say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. Choices that we make while we have freedoms is not always good for us. You say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial for you. We can choose to abuse our bodies or have substance abuse or whatever things we want to do. But we have the responsibility and the consequences to face with the choices that we make. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 continues to say, but you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with weaker conscience to stumble. Be careful with this freedom that God has given you. People are watching you. If you're a parent, you know this so well, that your little child is just copying your actions and the people around you see the way you behave, and that freedom of choice is actually not just a freedom to choose with great power, it comes with great responsibilities. Our choices have consequences and responsibilities. Inevitably, these choices become our habits, and our habits shape, if not form, our destiny. In other words, freedom is not just a choice, it's not just a responsibility, it is about the habits that shape our lives. Hosea chapter 5 verse 4 captures this in this verse. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. For the spirit of whoredom or prostitution is within them, and they know not their God. They don't know the Lord. Now, notice the words their deeds. The Hebrew word ma'alal means habits, translates to the word habits or practices. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. The habits have prevented them to come to the place of the very destiny that God has for them. And what's caused that is actually a spirit. the spirit inside of us, as we've talked about in previous weeks, have a way of creating habits in our physical bodies. Really, the reality is we are creatures of habits. Think about it this way. You sleeping is a habit. Without the habit, we will not be well. We will all be sick. Waking up is a habit. Brushing our teeth is a habit. Bathing is a habit. Cooking is a habit. Eating is a habit. Drinking is a habit. Reading is a habit. Now think about all the different habits within those habits. To be able to sleep properly, you're going to have to dress appropriately. You're going to have to fix your bed. You're going to have to set the lights in order. When you wake up, you've got to set the alarm. When you brush your teeth, you've got to open the toothpaste, put the toothpaste. When you bathe, you've got to have the right soap. It is a lot of things that are needed. And habits are so important in our lives because there's so many things to do. Housekeeping is one of them. Think about the things about driving and the habits that we need to be able to function properly to drive. Working is another. Problem solving or even relating or exercising or managing our finances and affairs and even our hobbies. Think about a guy who's got a hobby of photography and the number of things that he needs to remember to make that thing function well. Habits are necessary because our habits are formed in our brains. And if we have all these habits and more other habits, what will happen is we're going to have an oversized brain, which means we're going to have an oversized head, which means we cannot be born. Our mothers will have a problem giving birth to us. God designed our brains to have synapses. The way our brain communicates through these synapses forms the different habits. It accounts for why a child can't walk initially. But eventually, as those habits are shaped and formed, they become automatic. As the brain ages and that body ages with it, the habits are formed and they become things that you don't even think about. Accounts for why you brush your teeth and wash your face. Without these habits, it will be impossible to do life. It's the same thing that accounts for a tennis player who has that service. And it's just these synapses of his brain that goes pit, 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 pit. It just becomes automatic over time. It gets faster and faster and faster. It becomes more automatic. It's good when you have good habits. The problem is there's also such a thing as bad habits. Now, where do habits come from? Habits come from discoveries. The Bible tells us, or we know, that the word discovery comes from two words. Dis, which is to remove. Cover, which is to remove the cover. When we remove the cover from our eyes, we discover things. We find that in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 5. God knows that when you eat of the of your eyes will be opened. And this idea of our eyes opening to not just the spiritual, but this time to the habitual. Think about reading or even swimming. When you think about all of these exercises or these practices, they began in a child's mind through a discovery, the opening of the eyes. Now, notice where it says, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Habits are shaped, whether good or evil, beginning from a discovery. The problem is, it's not just good things that we discover. We discover things like smoking or pornography or gambling. And these are all discoveries. Discoveries lead to desires. Notice in chapter 3, verse 6, it says, when the woman saw, discovery, that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes. Notice, saw in eyes, discovery, she desired it. The next stage for a habit is desire. Imagine a man who discovers a girl. Notice how that man now gravitates towards the girl out of a desire. I saw that with each of my boys. I had three sons and they each fell in love. They discovered the girl. They desired the girl. And all of a sudden, the habit was gradually being shaped. Yes, believe it or not, habits and marriages are habits. In fact, if you have good habits in a marriage, you will have a good marriage. And if you have bad habits in a marriage, you will have a bad marriage. Now, the next stage is the word decision. Notice which says in chapter 3, verse 6, the second half of the verse, she took its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Both of them did not just discover, did not just desire, they decided to partake. When you discover a woman and desire a woman, until you marry the woman, that will not be a serious decision. That's just the game of choices you're playing. because life changes and our habits are shaped through a series of discoveries, desires, and decisions that we make. The Massachusetts Institute of Technology, or MIT, did an intensive study in the 1990s on habits. They did it with rats. They put some circuits in their mats to see their brains and the way habits were formed. They discovered that apparently rats are not pronated or love cheese. They love chocolates, like me. Now what they did was they would let them discover the chocolates which they desired, and they decided that they were going to have the chocolate. They would hide the chocolate, but despite the fact that they would hide it in the maze, these mice could still find the chocolates. Interesting. Because when we discover and we desire and we make a decision, we find ways to get to this thing. Now, what they did next was interesting. They created an even harder maze for the mouse to get there. Now, what's interesting is the mice found their way. Because when we make a discovery and we have a desire and we make a decision, the delight moves us to that direction. Delight is a little further from desires and decisions. Now it fulfills us. Now we enjoy it. Now we're willing to do whatever it takes because it's such a part of our lives. The Institute of Technology went a little further. They electrocuted the maze. And they noticed that despite the electrocution, the mice still found a way, despite their burning claws and despite their raised hairs, they found a way to get to the chocolate. Worse, they put poison in the chocolate. And despite the fact that the mice were throwing up, they still went after the same thing. Now, that is beyond delight. That is called devotion. When you are willing to pay the price, it's kind of like addiction. When you're ready something, you're ready to give up some things for something. Marriage is one point. Athletes who give up their late nights to be able to sleep early, that is devotion. That's the same as addiction to substance. When people are willing to give up families, health, finances, their future for the bad habit, that's devotion. In fact, the King James Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, in the Old English language, that they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Because that word addiction in the Old English was actually the word devotion. This is the trajectory of a habit. We discover, we desire, we decide, we delight in it and are fulfilled in it, and then we become devoted to it or addicted to it, and thus gets the next stage, which is our destiny. This is the trajectory of our habits, good and bad. Now, it's great if all our habits were good, but what if some of our habits were bad habits? What do you do then? How do you resolve that? What if you have a bad habit of anger that I used to have and my marriage was suffering? What if you had a bad habit of impatience or a bad habit of not just substance abuse and gambling and pornography, but we do have a number of bad habits? What do you do then? Well, the answer is to discover something better, like reading the Bible, like listening to preachings like this, because that discovery will lead you to a new desire. And that new desire will lead you to a new decision. And that new decision hopefully will lead you to a new delight. Unfortunately, that usually is not the case. The reason is because the existing habit, the existing delight, and the existing devotion, and the existing destiny is so strong that what happens is not delight, but a dip. In other words, we do not get to the next stage of habit formation. The result is we do the loop. The loop is known as the loop of discovery, the same desire, the same decision, the same dip, and the same discovery every year, otherwise known as the treadmill of the New Year's resolution. It is the accounting for why people are all signing up for gyms on January, and it's filled all the way to April, and by May, there's nobody there. Because we've learned this idea of just moving and feeling good about it because we've discovered something accounts for why we get all these apps and we get all these different things, these trinkets that we put in our bodies but never keep up with it because it's not the accessory or the app or the signature in your gym contract that changes a habit. Our discoveries become desires that become decisions that dip And if you keep going around in these circles, eventually you will drop out. And that is the typical way habits never get to destiny. The key, therefore, is still discovery, leading to a desire that will lead you to a decision. But the next stage is not a dip or a delight, but a willingness to die to yourself. This is the way of the disciple. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple, he must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." The way of the disciple is to make the one choice that we need to keep on making and actually mastering. The mastery of making the choice to die to myself. My life changed spiritually when I learned to die to myself. When I learned to, by the way, let me just explain this. This is not an easy thing to do, because our delights and our devotions and our destinies are pre-existing. But every time we choose to, Jesus died for us, and he's not going to kill us. The option to die for ourselves is a choice no one can make but us. My marriage changed and my relationships changed when I decided to die to my selfishness and my arrogance and my pride and my impatience. And it changed with kindness and patience and love. My physical body changed when I started dying to myself and the passion of eating too much chocolate. And I started changing different things in my life. My finances resurrected from the dead when I started dying to myself. And instead of buying too many things or spending too many things, I started saving more. The action of dying to ourselves is the biblical model for habitual change, particularly for bad changes. Now, keeping in mind that our choices are sometimes destructive. As we pointed out earlier, they heighten our expectations that lead to a certain level of dissatisfaction that not only becomes dissatisfying, but the tendency for paralysis, mystery, if not depression. When we choose to die to ourselves, we're following the way of Jesus. The next stage is we find ourselves to become a disciple. Now, this represents a journey, and I just want to be clear to say this. It's easy to draw this in a video, but it's not that easy to live this life. The question, therefore, becomes, why would I be willing to do that? Why would I be willing to die to myself and follow Jesus? The answer is because of this line right here. This is the line of resurrection, the promise of Jesus that if we die, we will resurrect from the dead. That principle of dying and resurrecting from the dead is not just when we die physically, but every time we choose to die to ourselves as a disciple, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, resurrects us into the newness of delights. Our lives change for the better. And every time we do that, we can expect a miracle from God that will change us and cause us not just to have a new delight, but a new devotion. A devotion that we're willing and gladly do, not by trying in the flesh, not by making checklists, but in our hearts, because our delights, we learn to delight in the Lord. And he changes the desires of our hearts that leads us to a new devotion, which ultimately brings us to a new destiny. Freedom. But freedom that is not just temporary. Freedom that is spiritual. Freedom that is relational. Freedom in the physical, and even freedom in the financial. Destiny by choice. This is a choice that you and only you can make. And that destiny is freedom. It's a choice. Not an easy one, but it works. It's a responsibility. And finally, it's all about your habits. Let's close as we take a moment and end this moment of meditation to proclaim Jesus, our Savior. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to earth to save us from our sins. It is this act of grace that has brought us the destiny of freedom the Father intended for us from the very beginning. Give us the ability to choose the way of the disciple, to choose to die to ourselves and follow you. We believe that as we do so, we will experience the resurrection life on earth and eventually for all eternity in heaven with you. Be glorified in our lives today, Lord. And in your name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.